you could give your leasing agents books and articles and stuff like that that help teach them the importance of, you know, the importance of selling, the importance of a positive, you know, atmosphere and attitude and all that kind of stuff. So they understand that. Don't just leave your leasing staff out of all these conversations. Don't just think your manager, the regional manager, whoever you're dealing with, is going to be the one to do it all.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today, but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with HomeInvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and with me is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today, Todd. How are you today?
Fantastic. Just Monday after Easter is when we're recording this, so had a belly full of candy and delicious food. So,
yep.
How about you?
Yeah, those jelly beans, we really need to put those away. We just can't get enough of them.
Yeah, they're dangerous, man. So so today we're going to talk a little bit about dealing with managers, or property managers specifically. And obviously, as we buy an apartment, we've got to decide if we're going to manage or not. And if we decide we're going to do the managing ourselves, we got to figure out how do we actually hire the right manager, and then how do we actually manage that relationship and make sure the property is running smoothly.
Yeah, that's great. So let's just talk maybe briefly. I know we touched on this back when we talked about different team members, but you know, what are the different considerations for actually hiring a manager versus doing it yourself?
Well, you know, you've got to decide, I guess, first of all, what's your business? Ultimately, that's kind of what it boils down to. And do you want to be in the management business? So property investing, to me, is different than property management. And a lot of people think they're this one and the same. To me, that's like saying that being a contractor, doing the renovation, is the same as doing the investing or doing the property management. They're all different things. So you've got to decide, are you going to run a property management company, or is your main focus on the investments and continuing to acquire and to build and to grow? Not that that's not important as the management. It's extremely important, probably the most important aspect of your success. But do you want to be the manager, or do you want to hire the manager? So I think that's the most critical thing, is you've got to decide where your business is and what do you want your business or businesses to be. So,
you know, if somebody has started off in real estate with some smaller buildings, 2 to 4 unit type of thing. You know, managing those type of properties themselves is probably a good idea, at least to start with.
I don't think it's a bad idea, but I don't think it's 100% necessary thing. Sure. Again, I equate it to construction. It's great if you want to get in there and get dirty and learn. I think that helped me the first several rehabs that I did, and I had a construction background prior to doing flipping. It helps me because I know what to expect. I know how long things take. I know the ins and outs of it, and I can guide my contractors a lot more. So is it helpful? Sure. Is it 100% necessary? No. Do I think you need to know about what they're doing? Yes, absolutely. You need to know what the contractors are doing. You need to understand their scope, and you need to understand what the difficulties of what they're doing are and all that kind of stuff. Same thing with the property management. So does it help? Yeah, I would say it helps. Is it 100% necessary? Not 100% necessary.
Right. So, when you're looking for a good property management company, I know you've given the tip before to, you know, get referrals. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a good, I really appreciate that. Beyond that, what are the different characteristics that you're going to look for in a good management company?
Yeah, so get referrals is obviously a big one. And then there's, I can't think of, maybe you know the where you can find if they're a certified property management company, a qualified property management company. Do you know there's a source? I'll have to try to dig it up, put it on the show notes.
What
are you looking for? You're going to be, obviously you want somebody that's going to be able to align with your goals. So certain property management companies just want to do things their way. And then there's others that are willing to kind of bend. You still want to find a property management company that's going to do things their way, but they'll also be flexible. So what I would say is look out for the property management company that says, oh, we'll do it however you want. And you ask them questions and go, well, how do you want it? How do you want it? That means they don't know what they're doing, likely. And they just are going to hopefully try to do it the way you want it. But how is that going to work when they've got, you know, 50 other clients or 20 other clients or whatever they have? It's just not going to work, right? So you want somebody who has their own systems in place already and that this is the way they do it, but they are willing to have a little bit of flexibility to try to work with you. So there's that got to be that give and take. There can't be just, nope, this is how we do it. There's no flexibility, but it can't be just, oh, what do you want? We'll do for you the way you want. Cause that, then, you know, there's just fluff there. They're not, you know, how about you? What do you think? I guess that was just one thing. There's several others. I mean, does a personality, do those align? Also, you know, you got to think about some of the questions. Are they going to force you to use them as the broker when you sell it? Some property management companies want to do that. Is that good or bad? In my opinion, I don't like that, but, maybe it's good if they're a good broker. You know, what are their fees? Of course, that's important. You know, what are they looking for in the people that they hire? Because they're going to hire people on site to manage your property if it's big enough. You know, what's the reputation? Of course, which you're not going to ask them, but you're going to ask them for some referrals. Yeah. What do you think, John? You did some property management. What do you think stands out and is important?
Yeah. Probably, you know, just openness as far as, you know, do they have a system and software that you can log into and see what's going on a day-to-day basis? You know, as far as the accounting, as far as the maintenance, how quickly are things getting attended to when requests come in from the tenants? And you know, what are their systems as far as, are they on really autopilot, or do they need to consult with you at every given, you know, decision? Which, you know, some of those decisions definitely you do want to be consulted with, but then at a certain point you want them to be able to do their thing and, you know, not get a call every single hour.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's really important. And what's their openness in communication? I think that's really important. Like you said, can you look at the books every day? How are the bank accounts going to be controlled? Are they controlling 100% your bank accounts and all your money? Or do you have access to that as well? Or are you the only one that has access and they just have read access? You know, how are they willing to work with you on that? You should make sure that you at least have some control of these bank accounts. And I like having daily access to my accounts. I like being able to see what's going in and what's going out. And then I want to be able to set up a weekly meeting and more if needed with my manager. So then you need to find out, you know, how big is the company? If you've got a 200 unit building, that's different than if you have a 20 unit building. If you have a 20 unit building, you know, and you've got a 20 unit building, that's in a C-class area, you want to find a property management company that deals with 20 unit buildings in C-class areas. So does that align too? Does the property align with the property management company? Are they managing 5 to 10 unit buildings and then you throw a 220 unit building at them? Well, that probably doesn't work for them. The other thing is, what type of property do you have? Is it turnkey or is it a reposition? And if it's a reposition, can they handle a reposition? Are they good at that? Do they have contractors? Are they contractors themselves? Do they know how to handle that? Do they know how to get the lease out done? All that kind of stuff. So
one other thing I like to add to the characteristics of a good management company is just that they set the culture between them and the tenants. And it should be a culture of customer service, you know. And that, of course, that's going to be balanced with, you know, setting expectations as far as following the lease and then maybe consequences if the lease is not fulfilled. However, that, like I said, you know, treating the tenants with respect, answering the phones when they call in with concerns, not yelling at the tenants when they're being difficult. You know, that type of thing is really important to me. You know, treating the tenants who are customers with respect.
So. Yeah, you're right on there. I think, and I see it quite a bit with managers, with owners, doesn't matter who's managing the company, but with people that are managing the tenants is they feel like the tenants are the nuisance. They're almost like they just don't want to deal with the tenant. And it's like, well, that's your business. That's what you're doing. You're in customer service. You're dealing with tenants. These people are paying you good money to live at this place. And people get this kind of this grudge. And I get why they do, because, you know, tenants cause damage, they cause problems, they don't pay their rent, they trash the place, blah, 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 blah. And the list goes on. But at the same time, you still can't get that, you know, that culture going where the tenants just don't matter and you don't want to do the repairs and you just kind of blow people off, because that's going to continue that snowball down the road, and it's going to be a bad place to live. Nobody's going to want to live there. So you got to make sure that your management company is going to, you know, have a good culture. So what I would suggest doing is going to a few of their properties that they manage, whether you secret shop them or go with them on a tour. It doesn't matter. I would actually do a bit of both. But you want to see what the culture is as you go. You want to see what the properties look like as you go. And if their excuse is, this owner doesn't let me, you know, do anything. Well, that could be true. But at the same time, if that's really true and they're a good management company, they're eventually going to just fire that property manager, property owner, and move on to a different property because they don't want to have that as their reputation. So if that's true, that you should maybe see that one time and that's it. The rest of the property shouldn't be like that. If you've got, if you look at four or five properties and, you know, two or three of them are bad, well, that gives you an indication of what's going on.
And I would say that definitely does happen. I mean, back when I was a property manager, oftentimes I felt like my hands were tied just because, you know, the owners didn't delegate a lot of money towards improvements or towards taking care of the properties. So, you know, sometimes that's the case, but like you said, at some point we have to decide this is not the way we as the management company, when I was acting in that role, you know, this is not the way we want to run our company. This is not the reputation that we want to establish for ourselves.
We're just going to hit the road because this is not the way we do business. And that's exactly what's going to happen. That's the type of company you want. You want that company that just finally just goes, look, this ain't working. We don't do business the way you want to do business, and we treat our tenants with respect. So a couple things on now, let's say we found the property management company that we like. A couple things that I would say is we need to now start managing that company, right? And we need to make sure our expectations are met. So one of the most clear things I think you need to do is you need to set up a business plan from day one. What's this property going to look like? You know, what kind of things are we going to do to incentivize tenants? What's the culture going to be from the start? What are we doing for repairs? How long are those going to take? What are we expecting? So that property management company knows and understands you want this property to be a fun, inviting environment or whatever your goal and vision for this property is. If it's a C-class property, it might just be that you want it to be very clean. You want, you know, repairs to be taken care of right away. You want, you know, tenants to understand that they have to pay rent on time and right away. You want to be stern on that. Maybe you want to do, you know, a few things to have tenant retention. You know, that type of thing. Or maybe you want it to be that fun, environment. Maybe you've got some cool amenities that you want to, you know, make sure the tenants are taken advantage of and make sure that they're enjoying the pool and enjoying the gym and all that kind of stuff. So you're doing fun things, you're doing contests, you're doing, you know, door prizes, all whatever, stuff like that. So you've got to, what's your environment going to be like? And you want to set that up and you want to set their expectations up for that management company from day one so they understand that.
Yep. You know, one other thing that comes to mind is that when problems do arise, because we're in the management business or we're in the investment business, you know, things don't always go 100% the way you want them to. So when that happens, what are some ways that you tell the difference between this is a problem with the property or the tenant versus this is a problem with the manager?
That's a good question. And a lot of that can be kind of gray. It really depends on what the problem is, of course. I guess probably one of the easiest ways to tell if this is a problem with the property management company, or if this is a problem with the tenants, is it happening in that neighborhood? So you have a high eviction rate, let's say. Well, do all the properties close to you have high eviction rates, or is it just your property? You've got a large amount of crime happening on your property, larger than what you'd like to see. Well, is there a large amount of crime on the properties next door, or is it concentrated on your property? So certain things like that are fairly easy to tell. I guess that's what comes to my mind is what's going on nearby.
Yeah, that's definitely great. You just got to realize that, you know, the location of your property is going to affect what type of tenants and visitors you attract. So, you know, going back to location, location, location.
Yeah. And even in a, I wouldn't say a bad location, but even in a maybe not as great of a location, let's say, let's just say it's C-class. We all know that C-class tends to have high crime, not always. There's some C-class areas that are fairly low crime, but you can also, if it's not a really high crime, it's just likely your property is going to be involved in it. But if it's got some crime going on, and there's things you can do to help keep that crime down.
Yep.
And so is your management company doing those things to try to keep the crime down, and particular with your property? You can't necessarily completely affect what's going on at the property next door, but you can help your property out. So are they doing things that are going to help your property out if you do have crime happening there? And even B class and A class properties have crime that happen in areas. I mean, there's A class properties I can think of in the Twin Cities that are in areas that are not necessarily in areas, but close to areas that, you know, crime quite frankly happens quite a bit. So,
yeah, one example of something you could do, or the manager could do, is just having proper lighting around the building, you know, making sure that the exterior doors lock automatically so that people can't just walk in. You know, little details like that can create a safer environment. So
I looked at a 100-plus unit building just recently, and you know, when you get 100-plus unit building, your occupancy is, let's say, 95%. That's good occupancy, or 97%. That's really good occupancy. Well, that still means you have 3 to 5 vacant units, and you're always going to have that. So what these people did is made a model unit that they use for showings, and they also stocked it full of, you know, water and pop and chips and cookies, and they put some chairs in there, and just made it really inviting. And they invite dog treats, and they invite the police to come in, have a bottle of water, you know, have some chips, hang out, eat their lunch there if they want, whatever. It gets the police presence right into that property, and the police do come and use it. They got keys for that building, they got keys for that unit, and so they come in and they use it. So
yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, a lot of times police can get a bad rap, but they're the peace officers, and they can, their presence can really help situations. So
I don't care what you think about police officers. I would rather have them on my property, keeping an eye on my property than not. So,
yeah.
So let's kind of shift just to managing the manager themselves. And I guess we've kind of been talking about that, but we want to make sure that they're doing the job we want at all times. Any advice being from the management that you have right off from the start?
Yeah, well, I mean, this kind of ties into something we just talked about, is when a problem needs to be reported, you know, keeping the owner informed about the situation as it's developing, or as it, you know, whether that be through emails or just kind of a access to a log of information. You know, everything that goes on with the property should be tracked, and that should be accessible by the owner. To, you know, you don't necessarily have to speak to the manager, although you should have access to them as well, but you should be able to access the log of what's going on at the property.
Yeah, for sure. And accessing all your files are really important. So for me, when I'm dealing with managing that manager, I want to be sure, number one, you have to be able to have direct communication with the management company. And that doesn't necessarily mean the owner of the management company. It means your contact. So who's your contact? Is it depends on how big the company is. If it's a smaller company, you know, maybe they manage 1,000 units or less, you're probably going to be dealing with the owner directly. If they manage over 1,000 units, this is just a general ballpark, but you're going to be dealing with the regional manager. Maybe you have a district manager or whatever. So you're dealing with, you know, a manager of some sort. You want to make sure that you've got communication with them. What I like to do on my property is set up a weekly call. Whether it's formal setup or just informal setup, I just like to have a weekly call with them where we talk about the property, talk about what's going on, talk about the problems. I also obviously want to be able to text or call or email them at any other time during the week if I've got questions, and I want them to be doing the same to me. I like that feeling when my property manager just calls me up out of the blue, starts talking to me about stuff, whether it's a problem or not. That to me is great communication. Also, can you communicate with the on-site leasing staff and maintenance staff? I think that's important, whether you can email them or not. In my calls, I like to every once in a while have a phone call where we set up a conference call between the on-site staff, the regional, or my whoever I'm dealing with, and then and me, so we could talk about the problems at the property, because everybody's got different insights. So it's nice to understand where everybody's coming from. So I think that's, to me, number one with managing that manager. Can you have good access to them? Number two, I think probably a good thing to be able to do is secret shop. They'll go in, fly into town, or maybe send somebody else to the property, or if you live in town, just randomly stop by and check out the property. I get people that ask me for help every once in a while, and or ask me if they can help me every once in a while. Will you take that, take advantage of that if you can, and just say, hey, go stop by my property. Pretend like you're a tenant. Pretend like you're a prospective tenant. See what they do. Call them. See if you can set up a meeting. See how long it takes for that leasing agent to get back to you. See if they actually do get back to you. Maybe they ignore your call. Maybe that's a problem. So you can find out if there's problems or if there's not. What are they showing you? What are they saying when they're showing? Is that leasing agent actually trying to sell the property, or are they complaining the whole time? That type of stuff. And it happens. You might think it, but it happens. So, I was recently doing a due diligence on a property, and the leasing agent, complained almost the whole time. Well, that's not a very good rep of that property. If you're complaining the whole time to a prospective buyer, you should be talking about how good the property is. You should be trying to basically sell me on the property as well. So,
The leasing agent is the sales person. It's the face of the company to prospective tenants. And, they might not always be trained in sales, because kind of becoming a leasing agent doesn't take a lot of credentials.
Right.
Part of your business plan that you're sharing with your management company should be setting those expectations for the leasing people. So yeah, definitely doing that secret shopping can really expose what's really going on there. So.
Well, and this isn't something I do, and maybe I should start doing it now that you just mentioned the sales part, is that you could give your leasing agents books and articles and stuff like that that help teach them the importance of, the importance of selling, the importance of a positive, atmosphere and attitude and all that kind of stuff. So they understand that. Don't just leave your leasing staff out of all these conversations. Don't just think your manager, the regional manager, whoever you're dealing with, is going to be the one to do it all. If you can provide your leasing staff with your business plan and make sure they understand what your goals and visions are, I think that's really important too. And even sitting down and meeting with everybody, I think is really important to tell them, this is the environment I want. Because if they start believing in that environment, well, that everybody's better off.
Yeah. And that really, it starts from the top and goes down as far as caring for the property, and absentee landlords get a bad rap. about not caring. You know, so, you know, we've talked a lot about investing from afar or out of state. So you're going to just naturally be in that absentee position. However, if you can show to the people on the ground that you do care through those weekly phone calls, through your detailed management plan, through providing training or coaching or ideas to the sales staff, you know, that just kind of right there sets the culture and the tone, which should trickle down to the general public right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely right. And I'm not an absentee owner because I'm an out-of-state owner, I'm not an absentee owner. If you're an out-of-state owner, you should not be an absentee owner. You can be an absentee owner in-state, quite frankly. And there's a lot of in-state absentee owners. To me, an absentee owner is somebody who just doesn't give a rip, who's not paying attention to the property, who's not at the property, who's not communicating with the manager, whatever it is, but they're just not caring about that property. So you could be in-state, out-of-state, it doesn't matter. There's out-of-state investors who are better at investing out-of-state than a lot of people in-state, and vice versa. It's really all about how much detail, how much attention you want to put on that property. And again, communicating with the manager, whoever's in charge, you're making sure everybody's on the same page. It's really important.
Yeah.
So I think that probably really covers, managing the manager. Obviously we've pounded in everybody's head. You've got to communicate. You've got to have a plan and an understanding. And the more you run it like a business, the better it's going to be, right? Because you've investing in people. That's the thing. And that's kind of the whole point of this podcast is there's so many people think investing is all about just, making that dollar and we buy this property, but you've got to run it like a business. It's still a business. Run it like a business and you're going to be way more successful. So don't just assume that your real estate's going to run itself.
Yeah. And just for a moment, why don't you unpack that? What does it really mean to run it like a business? That having the business plan?
Yeah, have a plan from start to finish. What are you going to actually do? Who's involved in the success of the business? And understanding your role. If you're not the actual property manager, your role then is the visionary. So as the visionary, what are you doing to make sure your vision is being, brought forth? What are you doing? How are you communicating? How are you setting things up? Do you have the right team in place? Do you have the right processes in place? Are you hiring the right people or are you firing the right people to fire? So all that put together, you're operating and running it like a business. You want to make sure that everybody understands your vision and it's not just you. It's easy to have a vision. It's difficult to make sure everybody in your company has that same vision, is in the same alignment as you. And that's your job as the business owner to put forth.
Great.
So.
Well, very good. So why don't we wrap it up here? We just want to shout out to all those who are listening or watching the show here. We really appreciate it. And, we're here for you. We're just sharing our experiences, our knowledge. And if you have further questions about some of these topics we've been discussing, we'd invite you to comment either on the YouTube channel or on our Facebook page, which you can find both of them by looking up Pillars of Wealth Creation. And of course, while you're there, we would love your rating and review. And go ahead and share this with other people who may appreciate learning more about apartment investing.
Excellent. Yeah, share this out. We want to get in front of as many people as possible and share this information. Hopefully, it provides value to everybody that's listening and let everybody else know what's going on. So share it on your social media or just with your network. And if you haven't subscribed on iTunes or wherever you're listening, subscribe as well and get other people to subscribe.
So sounds good.
All right, John, you have an excellent rest of the day and we'll talk to you soon.
You too.
All right, man, make every day Saturday. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.